Hey everyone, it's time for another live look at the astrology. My name is Katie Sweetman, and this is your look at the astrology for March 13th through 19th, 2023. And we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of point of transitions in the sky right now. We are actually on the cusp of some big changes. I know, you know, I kind of say that a lot, but in this, I actually mean it this time. Not that I don't the other times, but we're, you know, Pluto's going to change signs next week. I know, next week, Pluto changes signs. We've got the end of the astrological year. Yes, we are, it's you know, the start of the year doesn't begin January 1. It actually begins with the spring equinox here in the northern hemisphere, and the sun arrives in Aries. So here we are at the end of the astrological year. We're also at the end of the lunar month, and so there's this time of reflecting and letting go and preparing for something new. We're now a week into Saturn's time in Pisces, so that's sort of that new beginning that we also had earlier this month. What else is going on? We got a lot of Neptune transits this week to talk about. Mars gets out of its shadow. Yes, Mars, it's been plugging away in Gemini all the way since August 20th, which for this Scorpio, I'm going to be really happy when Mars finally gets out of the shadow, because I feel like it's just been like such like plodding along while it was retrograde from October 30th until January 12th. What else we got going on? We are in this point of transitions. And also I'm doing a webinar on Pluto and Aquarius. So I'll talk about that in a moment, but always lovely to see you all. I see some familiar faces. Every week we gather live to talk about the astrology. You hear me say every week the astrology is 50%. You are the other 50%. That said, you know, astrology, it's time. It's the energy of time. The sort of that great sort of cosmic wheel, that great cosmic clock is getting ready to change hours. Well, we already had an hour change with Saturn's arrival in Pisces, but Pluto and Aquarius, that's a big question mark. We got lots to talk about. Let me know where you are watching from. Always good to kind of check in and hear from you. And my Sagittarius rising loves an international audience. It's a little bit brighter right now. You might notice that the clocks changed in the US and Canada. So now we're in that part of our time together where it's lighter outside. So yeah, how are you all doing? How are you all feeling the shifts? Boy, oh boy, did you all feel that Jupiter-Chiron conjunction this week? That was interesting. What came up for you this weekend? There was also a moon in Pluto, and a moon in Scorpio as well. But let's just dive right in. I had to like write all this out in a post-it note to kind of keep it very focused because it's a lot to cover. So, yes. As I was saying a few moments ago, it's the end of the astrological year. So the way that astrology measures time, and it measures it symbolically, is from the start of Aries, which is typically around March 20th or 21st, depending on where you are, all the way to the end, which is Pisces. Pisces is the end of the zodiac. It represents the totality of a journey that we've walked or we've gone through each of the previous 11 signs. Pisces is a very ethereal, otherworldly. It's a sign that sort of starts to put us into touch with something greater and to sort of integrate the lessons and the, let's say, the bigger awarenesses that we had while we were going through each of the 12 zodiac signs. So when there's a big emphasis on Pisces, we're really thinking about, or feeling, I shouldn't say think, feel, really feeling about things that are beyond us. It could be deep existential questions. Maybe if you have spiritual leanings, maybe you feel the call to go within or to meditate, to maybe look back at your life. I know that's a big statement. And what does it all mean? Where are we going? Are we going to be okay? You know, there is that energy of faith in Pisces. It's a Jupiter-ruled sign, but every sign of the zodiac has two sides. So you heard me talk about last week, was we have the two fishes with Pisces. One fish returns the journey back home. One fish goes the other direction. And that other direction is symbolic of sometimes the, let's say, the hopelessness that is within the archetype of Pisces. I'm not talking about the sign of Pisces, I'm talking about the archetype of Pisces and how you can have both highs and lows in the sign. The highest of the high in Pisces is pretty darn high. It's sort of that sense of ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, that sense of oneness and wholeness. I know it's a big bar in Pisces, and we'll be lucky if we even have a glimmer of that, because we're mere humans. But the other side of the things is that we have to really sit with our hopelessness or our loss of faith or feeling confused and we don't know where we're going, we don't have anything to hold on to. Pisces is the least tangible sign of the zodiac, but we have Saturn there, and Saturn is trying to get us to create supports or something to hold on to, even if it's not physical, while Saturn is in Pisces for the next 3 years. And yes, you know, Pisces is going to be a major focus in our lives over the next 3 years while Saturn's in Pisces. And wherever Saturn, wherever Pisces is in your personal astrology, yes, you have Pisces somewhere in your personal astrology, even if you don't have any planets there, that area is going to need a lot of work. So go back to the show I did last week. I kind of gave you some brief pointers to sort of sit with and reflect on, to sort of give you an idea of what are the bigger points over the next 3 years. And I also did a webinar on Saturn and Pisces, which you can still get. Still, it's a 3-hour webinar, but lots to bring you through the coming weeks and even years. So yeah, we've got the end of the year. We got a lot of Neptune energy and a lot of Pisces energy. And let's talk about Neptune for a moment. I feel like Neptune in astrology is one of those very misunderstood planets. We have to first understand that Neptune is an evolutionary planet. Evolutionary planets, there are three in total: Pluto, Uranus, Neptune. They do not function like our average day-to-day planets. Who are those? Sun and Moon. These are the lights in astrology. They talk about the self and emotions and feelings, and there's this very personal energy with the Sun and the Moon. They give life, they reflect life. Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. No, wait, not Jupiter, Mars. These are what are called personal planets. They talk about our personality, how we interact with our day-to-day life. Jupiter and Saturn, they really talk about the broader strokes of life. Now we're getting into the structures of our world, our legal systems, our education, governance, laws, what we believe in, what we think is true, our sense of the world as a whole. And Saturn sort of gets us to build and construct our lives. But what's beyond that? Well, we have Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. When these planets are very forward in the astrology, they are trying to create some sort of process of evolution and transformation. You could say in a way that they are an evolutionary force. When, from a historical standpoint, we started to discover outer planets, meaning anything that is beyond Saturn that we need a telescope to see. We could not see Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto up until, Uranus was discovered in 1781, and almost the Pluto return of Uranus's discovery. Neptune was discovered, I believe, in 1846, I think. And Pluto was discovered in 1930 or 31. I always get it mixed up. So these are relatively recent additions to astrology. You know, up until that point, you have to understand astrology is a very ancient language. But society, humanity, sort of our consciousness, our awareness has greatly shifted in the last 250 years. So Neptune, it dissolves the boundaries between this world and the next world. It doesn't quite function like Pluto and Uranus. It sort of works on a different level. Neptune has a lot of affinity with the Moon. They sort of work on a similar level, but they're very different influences in astrology. So with a lot of Neptune in the astrology this week, things feel blurred. Things feel otherworldly. They feel confusing. Or maybe we feel that somebody is pulling back the veil. We can see things very clearly, perhaps in a way that maybe kind of shakes us up a little bit. But Neptune is trying to I think all the planets are trying to help in their own way, but Neptune's trying to help by any means possible. Neptune is trying to open up our hearts, open up our compassion, get us to connect to who we are and what we are beyond this world, whatever you believe in, whether it's a higher self or a soul, or I don't know, maybe you don't believe in anything. But Neptune speaks to the things that we cannot necessarily see or rationalize. We can only sense and feel. And it is a planet, for better or for worse, that will be a transmitter. It will sort of, you know, be the carrier, and especially a carrier for a lot of the planets this week. You know, we have the Sun coming up to Neptune, we have Mercury in Neptune, and we have Mars square Neptune. So we have these planets that typically talk about personal experiences, but through the influence of Neptune. And I've just noticed that when there's a lot of Neptune in the sky, it's a lot of big emotions that can come up, and sometimes even experiences in the world that, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you have like a natural disaster, and that's like, there's like a Neptune influence to it. We're all very aware of it. We feel very connected. We feel the emotion of maybe something that's going on the other side of the world. So how are you going to use this Neptune this week? Do you feel your dreams? I was thinking about this a couple days ago, because, you know, I had a dream about my mother. It wasn't a dream about my mother, but my mother was in my dream. This is only the second time that I've dreamt of her since she died in August of 2021. And I think that there's just something that's very thin about the veil right now, whether it's Neptune, whether it's the end of the astrological year, whether it's Pisces season. So pay attention to your dreams. Who is visiting? Who's coming in? What are the stories and the themes that are coming through? How is your deep unconscious trying to talk to you? How is your soul and your higher self trying to talk to you? And maybe you all are having vivid dreams with Neptune, or maybe you're feeling very tired of the weather here. And I'm out, you know, right outside New York City, New Jersey. It's very foggy, very wet, very, very Neptune. Or maybe you're kind of really feeling into that, you know, kind of interstitial space that is between this physical plane and this non-physical plane. You know, the other side of Neptune is hysteria, illusions, delusions. It can pull us off the plot. It can get us to really go down, you know, follow things that maybe, you know, almost like a current carrying us away from ourselves. So it's really important that when we have Neptune energy very strongly in the astrology, that we are still staying rooted and grounded in our being, in our reality. It's not to say that there aren't other realities beyond this world, but you are still on planet Earth. You still have a physical body for now, hopefully for a while. So yeah, really feel into that Neptune that week, but really take care of your physical being. And maybe this is a good segue to talking about Mars. Mars, on the other hand, has been in Gemini since August 20th. That's a long time for a planet that typically only spends 6 weeks in a sign. So you can imagine 7 months, 6 weeks, or six months, seven, whatever it is, it's a bit of a difference. So the reason why Mars has been in Gemini for so long is because Mars went retrograde on October 30th, and it turned direct on January 12th, and here we are this week. Finally, Mars is getting to 25 degrees of Gemini. I'm highlighting 25 degrees of Gemini because that is the degree that Mars turned retrograde on October 30th. So it's maybe, perhaps, go and look. There is a connection this week between now and October 30th, or even when Mars went into Gemini on August 20th. Maybe it's subtle. Maybe you have to go looking for it. But this is, again, a long time for Mars to be in Gemini. And I think that with Mars in Gemini and retrograde at one point, we've had to really see how our words and our thoughts and our ideas are lining up with our actions. But sort of the other side of this transit has been a very long Mars square Neptune. There's that plan again, Neptune. Because right now, as I speak, Neptune is at 25 degrees of Pisces. Oh, there's that degree again, 25 degrees. So when Mars turned retrograde, it did it very close to Neptune. It really kind of brought this energy of Neptune into this our time with Mars. And Mars and Neptune are actually two very interesting combinations and two planets that don't typically play together. Like, well, I do have Mars conjunct Neptune, so I'm not, you know, hurting on Neptune or Mars. But you have to understand that Mars, personal planet, Mars wants, you know, has a sense of desire. It wants to go after what it wants. It takes action. It leads. It's individual. Neptune, it's transcendent. It's transpersonal. It goes beyond this physical world. It doesn't care about our human earthly desires. How do we align something that's very personal and very self-motivated with a planet that, in its best, highest light, is very selfless? See, there's a little bit of a friction in our time with Mars in Gemini. So we've had to really not only look at our choices and look at our actions, but try to get it to a higher octave, for lack of a better word. Maybe to transcend the not so helpful parts of how we take action, the things that we choose. There is a sense of higher calling with Neptune. Again, it's the highest of the highs with Neptune in Pisces. It's pretty darn high. So how do we try to reach for something better? But I think the thing that's very, very frustrating, and I'm saying this as a Scorpio, is that Mars, it can't be in the driving seat, the driver's seat, when Neptune's involved. And when we try to do, you know, I want this, it has to happen like this, it has to happen at this time, with Neptune, I know you all hear me say the astrology is 50% and you're the other 50%, but sometimes we have to sort of acknowledge when we can't do the human level 50%. We have to somehow rise to the better version of ourselves with that 50% when we meet these evolutionary planets. So maybe this is a good segue to Pluto. So since 2008, yes, 2008, Pluto has been in Pluto has been in Capricorn, and Pluto doesn't change signs very often. You're like, wow, 2008, 15 years ago, that's also kind of crazy. 2008 feels like another lifetime or two lifetimes ago. But yes, it was January, Pluto went into Capricorn, and it went out in June of 2008, and then it was back in November of 2008. What is Pluto? Pluto, evolutionary planet, works differently than your normal planets. It's trying to get us to grow and evolve by any means possible, but it does it differently than Neptune. Neptune is subtle. Pluto is not subtle. Pluto's job is to hold the mirror to us, personally, collectively, to show us what is really there. Pluto talks about this force of transformation. And because Pluto was in Capricorn, Capricorn is very much about the physical structures of our lives, Pluto was like a bulldozer going into Capricorn. Capricorn is a Saturn-ruled sign. Aquarius, the next sign over, is also a Saturn-ruled sign, but it's different. It's not Earth like Capricorn, it's air. Aquarius is an air sign, not a water sign, it's an Aquarius. It's an air sign. Whereas Saturn is very physical in Capricorn, it's very informational systems, networks, ideology, sociology, these kind of bigger umbrella things that really connect us all as humans. All we have to do is go back to 2020 and look at Saturn's arrival in Aquarius in March of 2020 and to see how there was a big tone shift. That's not to say that Saturn going into Aquarius was, you know, gonna be like that. I just think it picked up on the fact that Uranus was in Taurus, and that's why we saw a lot of disruptive energy the past few years, regardless of how you see things. It's very disruptive. So here comes Pluto. So that's sort of the bigger question, and I find it very interesting and just you know, interesting, not necessarily being predictive here, because again, this is not my lane. I don't, you know, I'm more of an arm. This is what's called mundane astrology. Mundane astrology is when you look at astrology from a geopolitical level. But it's very curious that we've seen some ripples in the financial market over the past few days, and even a pretty, not big, but definitely caused a lot of concern about a bank failure in the United States. And everybody's like, oh, this is the first, you know, major bank failure since 2008. And I'm like, Pluto is at the end of Capricorn. It's about to go into Aquarius next week. So it's just to see how we're seeing a little bit of a seismic shift in sort of the bigger structures, material structures of our life right now. On a personal level, Pluto is transitioning from one part of your chart and going into another part of your chart. Wherever Aquarius is, which you got very intimately familiar with over the past 3 years, is where Pluto will arrive. It'll be different. Not that it has to be different. It'll be different because Saturn and Pluto work on two different levels. And so this feeling, and we'll have to see, is how much has Saturn informed our time with Pluto in Aquarius for the next 20 years. Yes, 20 years. Because Pluto is going to go into Aquarius. It's only going to spend 3 months in Aquarius. It turns retrograde on May 1st, and by, I think it's June 17th, it's back into Capricorn. And we're going to do that a couple more times in 2024. And by November of 2024, Pluto is fully into Aquarius. So this year is a big transition point. Personally, collectively, what's going to happen? I don't know. A lot of it from a personal level, you have to see, well, like, what is your relationship with Pluto? What is your relationship with Pluto in your astrology? What are the positive changes you've made over the last few years? You know, and how does then Pluto capitalize on those positive changes? So we've got a lot of big transition points. You know, one of those transition points, the end of the astrological year, the preparation of the sun's arrival into Aries, that's seasonal. It happens every year. But does Saturn change signs and then Pluto next week? It's a lot of big things going on. And then on the 25th, Mars finally gets out of Cancer. And then, you know, Mars will start to pick up on, some other energies. We'll talk about that next week. I have to say, I completely forgot that Venus changes signs this week. You know, I didn't see that one in my Google calendar. But yeah, that's another big transition. Not big, but Venus going into Taurus, Venus is going back to the sign that it rules, and it's going back to the sign where Uranus has been there since 2018, 2019. So that's when I got my eye on, and how that sort of connects to maybe some of these bigger ripples in advance of Pluto, maybe even, you know, in advance of Jupiter's arrival in Taurus in May. I don't know, maybe we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. But if you want to get a really big deeper dive into Pluto and Aquarius, I'm going to do a webinar. It's going to be on March 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I know a lot of you can't always hit the live time because we are an international audience, but you can always get the replay. So the link is in the show notes, or you can go to my website, empoweringastrology.com. I think I hit all the bigger points. Oh yeah, Mercury goes into Aries on Sunday, and that's sort of that, you know, we're getting into that new renewal, new beginnings, the arrival of spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. I know it's going to be autumn for our friends in the Southern Hemisphere, but those are the big points that I wanted to hit this week. So let's look at the astrology a little bit more for the week of March 13th through 19th, 2023. So as we start the week, we have the moon in Sagittarius, and it's really picking up on Saturn's new arrival in Pisces. Both Sagittarius and Pisces are two signs ruled by Jupiter that are looking for answers and meaning, and really kind of getting into the deeper meaning of things. It is picking up on Jupiter's conjunction to Chiron, which we saw on Sunday, so just a day ago as I record this, and to really feel into these deeper emotional pain points around faith and truth and meaning, a leap of faith. Can you make a leap of faith? And maybe some of the, you know, for me, I sometimes will feel energy physically. I'll feel as a physical pain. And, you know, maybe your physical being was trying to tell you something over the weekend and even in today with Jupiter, with Moon in Sagittarius. So then we go into Tuesday, March 14th, and Mars, as I mentioned in the introduction, it makes its last square to Neptune. Yes, we had two previous squares to Neptune. That would have been, I believe, in October and November of 2022. And this is where it's been really learning about surrendering and letting go of control. And I know that those words seem a little trite sometimes. Oh, just surrender, just let go. But when you're really working with the energy of Neptune, it really is this evolutionary force that wants you to surrender and to let go. And if you've ever been in the ocean and gotten pulled by a wave, or, I mean, I grew up spending my summers in the ocean, so I know what it means. And I even had a really bad accident 10 years ago in the ocean. But even if you got pulled by a current, you know how powerful water can be. And that's where, you know, even though the astrology is 50% and we are the other 50%, you know, we can't do ego self-level with Mars. There's really been a story of transcending our desires and finding peace, and hopefully, you know, that's the greater idea as we, you know, come to the end of Mars's time in Gemini. And maybe the bigger question is, what have we learned? What have we learned around Mars? Action, leadership, bravery, courage, being in the command seat of life, and really going after what we want, versus maybe, I don't know what you believe in, but maybe there's something greater than us that it's not about, you know, completely capitulating. It's just coming into alignment and allowing life to flow. Then we get into the 15th of March, and the Sun conjuncts Neptune. More Neptune energy. So this is a time when the Sun, the self, the ego makes this merge with Neptune. We have to transcend ourselves. We have to open up ourselves. We have to find our compassion, our vulnerability. It's also very artistic, you know, for those that are creatives. This is a great energy. My joke about Neptune, especially when we have a lot of heavy Neptune energy, don't drink Neptune, because, and you know, you do, of course, but it can sometimes make things much more psychically, open, for example. Then we get to Mercury conjunct Neptune. So Mercury is rounding out its way. This is also on the 16th. It's rounding out of its time in Pisces. And as it does, it meets up with Neptune. So Mercury is the analytical mind. It's our ability to think and perceive and learn and to communicate and talk and listen. And then Neptune, evolutionary planet, that needs to transcend. And so Mercury conjunct Neptune, this is the aspect of seers and mystics and people who can channel, people who are very intuitive, people who are poetic, artistic, maybe good with photography or dance, for example. You know, Pisces is the sign of dance. Really pay attention again to your dreams, pay attention to, you know, sort of these messages that are coming, or signs, and how is your higher self, or how is something beyond trying to get your attention this week? Then we have Sun square Mars also on the 16th. And, you know, typically Sun square Mars can run a bit hot, and it can run impatient, and it, you know, has a lot of energy, but it's picking up on all this Neptune. And I think it really just, you know, compounds what I've been saying earlier about Mars square Neptune. And how do we take our desires and harmonize them with something greater than us, so that we are actually going with the flow, or going with the divine flow? Then we also have Venus in Taurus on the 16th of March. And yeah, Venus has been in, I think, Aries for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and now it's about to go back home to Taurus. It'll be very interesting because Venus is going into a sign where Uranus is, and it's Uranus has been there since 2018 and 2019. So this was one of the signs that was really shifting and shaking up our world over 2021 and 2022. The difference now is Saturn is out of Aquarius. So it's going to be a different type of energy. Typically Venus and Taurus, it loves pleasure. It loves the physical world. Taurus is one of the what are called four fixed signs that really govern over our material and manifested world. So Venus loves to, you know, graze, eat, taste, touch. It loves kind of comfort and luxuries, for example. But Venus is going to activate the story that's been in the work since 2018, 2019, that really came to a head in 2022, about making some seismic shifts in our relationship with our physical life, our physical being, what we value, what we, you know, or even our relationship with fertility and pleasure, for example, and money. Venus is a money sign, so we got to keep our eye on Venus, especially because things are a little bit interesting on the financial front at the moment. Then we go into Mercury square Mars on the 17th. So sometimes Mercury can be a little bossy with Mars or have a lot to say, but Neptune is there. So, you know, whatever we are saying, it needs to be compassionate and it needs to be intuitive. Finally, Mercury goes into Aries, and this is going to be on the 19th of March, and this is our first signal that we are about to have a change of season. So Mercury, personal planet, is presently ahead of the Sun, and so we're getting that first sort of bit of spring, and I mean that even symbolically for those that are in the Southern Hemisphere, the sense of renewal and new beginnings, and this is all in advance of the Sun's arrival in Aries on the 20th, Monday. We will talk about that next week. Sun goes into Aries, start of the astrological year, start of spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. We also have an Aries new moon next week. What else? Pluto goes into Aquarius on the 23rd, and Mars goes into Cancer on the 25th. Lots to talk about. Anyway, let's go through quickly each of the 12 zodiac signs, because I know there was so much to cover, and where, let's say, this sort of ending and beginnings and transition points are starting to show up for you. Starting with Aries. So a lot of this energy is taking place in what's called your 12th, and that's the space that Saturn just arrived in. The Sun is there, Neptune is there. And the 12th is really, especially picking up on the story over the last 10 years, about you opening up your spirituality. This means different things to different Aries, whether it's spirituality or just learning to let go. Typically, Aries is a sign that by its nature doesn't want to let go. And I think that that's something to underscore, because especially because Mars, it's squaring Neptune this week. And how do you align your actions, your choices, you to some degree, because Mars is your planet, with something greater than yourself, and really looking at yourself with a higher lens, and maybe making different choices accordingly. But that said, Venus does change signs. Venus is a major planet in your astrology. It goes into Taurus, your money sign, and it's really activating the story about a shift in your relationship with money, income, material stability and security, and even self-worth that's been playing out over the next few years. Finally, Pluto's about to go into what's called your 11th, and this is really coming to the end of its time in your 10th, which is about career. And so your homework, Aries, is really to reflect on what has happened in your professional life over the last 15 years. How has your status changed, your sense of ambition, your sense of power in the world? Where have you seen shifts in power, maybe your relationship with bosses or even relationship with your own power? And all of this is on the cusp of Pluto arriving in your 11th, which will start the shift of focus in your relationship with the greater world. And just to go back and reflect on what was happening, 2020 to 2023, for some of the breadcrumbs that Saturn left you and what Pluto will be picking up over the next two decades. Taurus, Venus, your planet switches signs this week on the 16th. It's wrapping up its time in Aries, so you've been a little bit behind the scenes. So Venus coming home to your sign is, in a way, a new beginning. It's like almost like a personal spring for you. Venus will pick up on Uranus, which has been there since 2018, 2019, this evolutionary force that has been trying to get you to wake up, to do things differently, to get out of your own way, and to get out of the grooves that typically Taurus likes to really hold on to, so to speak. That said, Pisces season for you, the focus is on friends, community, your social network, social issues, social themes, social causes, this kind of outpouring of altruism that typically Pisces in this part of this chart really wants to help people, wants to help the world. Maybe you're volunteering, maybe you're getting involved with different groups at this time. That said, Mars, which is a major player in your astrology, is about to finally get out of Gemini. For Taurus, there's been a big focus on money over the past 6-7 months and needing to maybe make some changes, not because necessarily you want those changes, but these changes are required of you. So at this point, really think about, okay, what have you learned? And because Mars is also a relationship planet, how have you seen a shift of value of relationships over the past 5, 6, 7 months? for example. That said, Pluto is about to leave your ninth, and this has been 15 years, yes, 15 years of really shifting how you see the world, what you believe in, what you stand for, what you think is true, even the beliefs that sometimes get in your own way and limit you, and now preparing for a huge shift of seasons, yes, a huge shift of seasons that starts March 23rd, at least it's a transition point that takes you into 2024, where it's about completely shifting your relationship with career, your professional life, and the world. More to talk about that in future times together. Gemini. Gemini, so Mars is wrapping up its time in what's called your first, and this has been on some level, in theory, a time of a lot of personal motivation, trying to go after what you want. I say typically because Mars typically is very self-motivated and self-directed. But Mars has been this long square to Neptune, and it's like you've had to really try to, you know, align you what you want, your desires, your sense of personal power in the world, with maybe something that's higher than you, because you do have Neptune in what's called your 10th, and it's been there since the, you know, 2012, for example. So this has been a time where Gemini, on a, you know, very quiet, subtle level, has needed to align its ambitions with something that's closer to its heart and its soul. And so maybe there's been some friction points this week at work or last week, or you're really trying to assert yourself and more, maybe you're feeling like there are just forces at play that are greater than you. That said, this is all in advance of Mars finally leaving Gemini on March 25th. That said, especially speaking of career, Saturn is now in your career sign. It's so much about your professional life right now, and maybe actually taking action and building aspects of your professional life or the duties and responsibilities that you carry in the world that are actually in alignment with your heart and soul. I say heart and soul because that's the level that Neptune wants you to work on. Not always so easy because we are human beings and we have to like earn a living and we have to pay our bills and we have things that we have to do. We have ambitions, but it doesn't mean that we have to like let those go. We just have to align greater. Oh, and then I'll add that Pluto is starting to wrap up its time in your eighth, and it's in all in preparation to go into your ninth. So the next 20 years, is this shift, this sort of taking the breadcrumbs that Saturn has left for Pluto, because Saturn was there from 2020 to 2023, and shifting how you see the world, how you see yourself in the world, what you believe in, what you think is true, and really getting clear about what you stand for. Cancer. I know, you're finally out of the eighth, you know, check. So this is a time where Saturn has been, you know, led you into the ninth. What do you believe in? What do you stand for? What do you think is true? What's in your heart? What's in your soul? You know, how does that lead to, you know, that sense of mission and purpose and faith in the world? And so this is a time, especially with the sun there and Neptune there and Mercury and feels like everybody else there right now, where it is really kind of getting into these deeper philosophical themes. And maybe, you know, it's not, you know, concrete what you necessarily believe in this time, but you're really starting this path of trying to make sense of things. That said, all the deep emotional work that you have been doing or you did 2020 to 2023 is sort of the notes that are being given to Pluto and what opens up this time of deeper transformation. Don't worry, it's not going to be the same, Cancer, because I think one of the hardest things about the past few years has been Saturn square Uranus since 2020, but Saturn is a very different animal going through the eighth than Pluto. Saturn shows you what needed to change. Pluto will actually change it. Two very different energies. So that said, you know, with Venus changing signs also this week, and Venus is a big player in your astrology, it talks about home and family, and I think Venus is really trying to reach for comfort, stability, and security at this time. It's a very different energy now that Saturn is out of Aquarius, and how do you really sort of really anchor in at this time? Leo, gotta fly through these signs, we only have so much time. Leo, Well, we have all this planets going into your eighth. And so Pisces season is the time for you in your personal astrology calendar where it is about the deeper emotions and feelings. It is about doing the work and really kind of sitting with sometimes complicated emotions. I mean, that's the thing. We all have to delve deep in our emotional body, it's unavoidable. And so Pisces season is that natural time that leads you there. Well, Saturn is there. And maybe this is, I got this kind of question on my website and I didn't have a chance to answer, but I know the 8th, it's a heavy place. It means that the things that we haven't been, your time in the 8th is going to be different, from person to person. If you are somebody who knows how to do the work, has a lot of sense of sort of emotional supports and structures, then Saturn's time in there is going to be very different than you just spent the last 20 years pushing everything into the psychic and emotional closet, and then here comes Saturn, and Saturn's like, here's all this stuff that you haven't dealt with. So pay attention to some of the clues and the themes that are starting to come up, especially whether it was that Pisces new moon that we had a few weeks ago, or now that Saturn's there, where are you starting to hear Saturn? Where are you starting to feel the shifts of what now needs to be worked on? This space is also a financial space, so it does really focus on your relationship with money, income, wealth, the building of wealth, or even having to look at the things that are in the way of you building wealth. Wealth, whatever that means to you, everybody has a different relationship with wealth. But that said, Leo, Pluto's arrival in Aquarius is a huge shift of seasons for you. And Pluto is kind of be picking up on the notes or picking up on the themes that Saturn revealed to you over the past 3 years. This is about relationships, and this is going to be different for every Leo, but this sort of is the shift in relationships, how you connect to people, interact, and socialize. Sometimes for some people, it's really looking at power dynamics and relationships. For other people, it's the start of a major relationship that is completely different than anything that you've ever been in, for example. But that said, Venus goes into your 10th of career, and career has been an area that since 2018, 2019 has had a lot of shifts and changes, because it's been the time for shifts and changes. Whatever role that you play in the world, it has to be in alignment with what you truly value, not just because it's what your parents thought would be a good thing for you to do as an adult. And so maybe you've made a 180 in the past few years, but Venus going into this space, it is gonna start to really activate this energy of the changes that have already been in play and the changes that continue to be made in your career. What else we got? Virgo. Virgo. So there's so much going on in the mutable signs right now. So for you, Pisces season puts the focus on relationships. And this could be what I call big R relationships and also small R relationships. Bare minimum, this is a time for you to interact and socialize with people, to connect, to build alliances, to build connections, to build partnerships. For some people, the spotlight is on your big R relationships, whether it's a partnership, a marriage, or somebody who plays a big part in your day, in your life. That said, or in addition, Saturn is in this space. It's been in this space for a week. So it's really this shift of tone, a shift of seasons, because Saturn has crossed the descendant, so to speak, and gone into the 7th. And this is a time for you to really build your relationship with relationships, or to recalibrate, and for some people, to completely make a big structural change in how you connect with other people. That said, this is sort of wrapping up the astrological year, there's sort of the sense of new beginnings, but also the sense of things that are coming to an end. And then there's also Mars. Mars has been in your career sign since August 20th. I think one of the hardest things with Mars square Neptune is that maybe you've wanted to really take action in your professional life or lead or do something, but you've had to, either things have not been running on your time frame, or other people have needed your help, or maybe other people have gotten in the way of your timeline. But that's the thing about Neptune, is that things don't always come when we want them. So maybe you're going to start to feel like you have some more forward movement, especially as Mars prepares to go into Cancer on March 25th. But if there's been something that's been a bit unsettled in your professional life, see how that starts to come to a conclusion next week. Pluto going into Aquarius, the shift is now starting to focus on health, wellness, your relationship with your body, day-to-day life, and in some ways to look at the breadcrumbs and the notes that Saturn gave you over the past few years. Libra. Libra, so your planet Venus has been in Aries. It's been about relationships for the past few weeks, but now Venus goes into Taurus. It goes into what's called your eighth. And so you're going into a time over the next few weeks where Venus is actually activating a story that's been with you since 2018, 2019. Your relationship with intimacy, vulnerability, trust, power, control. It can even talk about assets, wealth, the assets that you have with a partner, for example, but to really see what are the emotional components that are starting to come up for you and how they may at this point not be so unfamiliar. That said, we have Mars wrapping up its time in Gemini. And for you, Gemini is what's called your ninth. And so this is the time that's really about, you know, looking at what you believe in, what you think is true. What do you stand for? What's your sense of mission and purpose in the world? What is your faith? Neptune, kind of an interesting planet in the mix, and how maybe you've had to, you can't quite move forward. You'd have to really tend to something that needs your attention, especially Neptune in the sixth. Maybe it's a project, maybe somebody else needs your help, maybe it's an act of service, and maybe your worldview has shifted in the past 5, 6, and 7 months. That said, Pluto is leaving what's called your fourth, and for you to reflect back, Libra, on what has been happening in the last 15 years about home and family, roots and foundation, because when Pluto went into that part of your chart in 2008, it was a major shift of seasons. Now we have another change, although it's not that kind of big shift that we saw in 2008, but Pluto will start to go into something called your fifth. The fifth was a space that you got very familiar with over the past few years. It's about taking yourself and taking your talents seriously. And maybe Saturn got you very clear about who you are and who you're not. Okay, but here comes Pluto. And Pluto is going to try to help remove and transform anything that's in the way of you being the real you. Scorpio. Scorpio, man, what do we got? We got talking about Mars. Mars, it's wrapping up its time in something called your eighth. And even though the eighth is a space of transformation and really doing the deep work, yes, you are a Scorpio, but it's probably a bit exhausting at this time. It has been since August 20th that you've been in what's called, I call the eighth realm. Mars, by this week, it's finally getting out of its shadow degree. So maybe you're going to start to feel a little bit of a breath of fresh air, some forward movement. And this is all in advance of your planet, Mars, finally leaving the 8th and going into 9th, into Cancer on March 25th. Cancer isn't exactly a breath of fresh air. It is a water sign, and it's not typically, on paper at least, the sign that Mars is happy in, but we'll take it, won't we? And it is a time where at least it is a shift of tone, a shift of feeling, and certainly new territory after this long retrograde period. That said, Saturn is now in your fifth, and it's there with like the Sun and Neptune right now and Mercury this week. And this is really about being very present with your talents and gifts and abilities, the things that make you you. And you're in this phase where over the next few years, you have to take yourself and take these talents seriously. No more thinking you're less than, Scorpio. That said, when Pluto goes into Aquarius on March 23rd, it is a major shift of seasons, Scorpio. The Aquarius was what's called your fourth, and yes, you've sort of concluded 3 years of really getting clear about where is home and who is home, and then here comes Pluto. And maybe you know something has to change, or maybe something was revealed to you over the past few years, but here comes Pluto. And it's going to be a year and a half transition. You know, Pluto is not fully into Aquarius until November of 2024. But for you to start to pay attention to where you see one of these sort of tectonic plates of your life, which way is it going? Is it moving closer to a lot of the work that you've done over the past few years about putting down roots, coming into yourself, coming into the physicality of home, and even the emotionality of home? But that said, Venus is a major player in your astrology, and it's going to go into Taurus this week on the 16th, and it's going to activate a story around relationship that's been playing out over the past few years. relationships, probably not for every Scorpio, but it's been an area of huge growth and transformation and change since 2018 and 2019. Sagittarius, lots of stuff going on with Sagittarius. So number one, Jupiter. Jupiter made that very interesting conjunction to Chiron and Aries over the weekend. This was really picking up on themes about faith, a faith in ourselves, you know, our sense of talents and gifts and abilities, and maybe it hit on a deeper pain point, for example. That said, Pisces season for you, and now all these planets down in Pisces, it really gets into these deeper themes around home and family. And if you recall from last week, I said you were starting a 3-year chapter of answering a couple simple questions. Where is home and who is home? And over the next few years, some Sagittariuses will make a major move. Maybe some of them will not actually physically move, but the move will be internal. And maybe the sun there right now, and the sun and Neptune and Mercury, is kind of giving you some advanced clues of the next few years. That said, Pluto is going to go into Aquarius next week, but it's wrapping up its time in Capricorn, which is a money sign. Go back and reflect, Sagittarius, on your relationship with money over the past 15 years. What has changed since 2008? Maybe there were big changes in 2008. That said, Venus is going to change signs this week, and it's going to go into Taurus, which is what's called your sixth sign. And that has been an area of big changes over the past 3, 4, 5 years with Uranus. For some Sagittariuses, this has been changing your day-to-day life, your habits, your routines. For some Sagittarius, is that really coming into your life, taking care of your body differently, looking at matters of health and wellness. And here comes Venus to activate the story again. Capricorn. So Capricorn, you've got a lot of things going on, or with Saturn is now in Pisces. Jeez, can't talk. Saturn is now in Pisces. We talked about this last week. Pisces is your third sign. So now the next few years is really focusing on building a different relationship with your voice, communication, and how you think and listen and learn, and even your relationship with education. This is a time for you to really work that intuitive voice, maybe something that you always know is there, but you don't always listen to it. That said, Sun and Neptune and Pisces, this has been a time about really refining and transforming and even transcending aspects of how you think, listen, learn, and communicate. Mars over in Gemini, and for you, Gemini is what's called your, gotta do the math very quickly, your sixth sign, and it's been over since August, really focusing on health and wellness, your day-to-day duties and responsibilities, and other functions of your daily life. But this has been this long square with Mars to Neptune, and really the either it's health related, or maybe you've needed to make changes in your day-to-day life that maybe haven't been what you necessarily wanted. You have to really open up to something that is greater than you, that is being asked about how you change your day-to-day life. But there is this kind of friction point that's happening in the astrology this week about choice and the choices that you make, and getting very clear as one can, with Neptune about what is sort of in the way of the choices that you're making. Are you listening to yourself, or is it coming from some place that actually kind of creates some strain, and really opening up and working on creating rituals and practice in your day-to-day life? Pluto is finally starting to get out of Capricorn. I know it's been since 2008, and it's sort of really left a mark in its time in Capricorn. But come next week, it's going to start to make that transition into your second sign of money and income. That is a bigger conversation for another time. But your homework, Capricorn, I know you love homework, is about you really reflecting on the person you were in 2008 versus the person you are now. What is your relationship with power, control, agency, individuation, your relationship with work, meaning do you run yourself into the ground, or do you have a very relationship with key aspects of your day-to-day life over the last 15 years? Aquarius. So Aquarius got lots to talk about. So Saturn is out of your sign, which if you follow me on Instagram, I did a screenshot of a text message I got from my Aquarius dad. I put it on my Instagram stories because he was like, you know, thank God that Saturn's out of Aquarius. I'm like, Dad, but Pluto is coming. Anyway, so Saturn is out, but Saturn is now in your sign of money and income. And over the next few years, the focus is on your material life, getting that, you know, shored up, or making changes in how you earn a living, or getting very clear about what's truly of value and what's not of value, because Neptune is there. And Neptune says, I don't care if you make $1 million or you're the most powerful person in the world, first it has to feed your soul. And so making sure that, let's say, your material life is in alignment with something greater than yourself, however you want to find that. That said, Pluto is getting ready to go into Aquarius, and it will have these three transition points in 2023. From March 23rd, May 1st, it turns retrograde. It goes back into Capricorn on, I think it's the 17th of June. But that's, you know, our first taste of, for you at least, that you're stepping into a new season of life. It is major when Pluto crosses into our sign, because it is the start of a powerful transformation. This is a bigger story for another time. I will also add that Venus, which is a big player in your personal astrology, is going into your sign of home and family, a space that you have seen a lot of changes in your household, home environment, family, and living situation over the past few years. It's a little bit different now that Saturn's out of Aquarius, but it is really playing off of these themes about, you know, where is home, who is home, making changes, whether it's physical changes in your day-to-day life or sort of changes in the emotionality of your life. What else we got? Finally, Pisces. I know, I'm trying to get everybody in. So Pisces, happy birthday if it's your birthday. If you are late Pisces, meaning you're born in the last 7 to 10 days of the sign, and you got a lot going on this week. So we just had that Virgo full moon that last week that put the spotlight on relationships for you. But that said, especially if you're born around the 16th or 17th, you have that Sun-Neptune conjunction this week. And so, you know, Pisces by its nature is a what's called a sensitive sign, but it's very sensitive and has been very sensitive to varying degrees since 2012 when Neptune first arrived in Pisces. So really pay attention to your dreams. Please stay grounded, Pisces. That's the thing. This energy can be very ethereal, very otherworldly. It can pull you off yourself. Make sure you put your feet on the earth, get some fresh air, for example. But it's very watery this week. Neptune has been this evolutionary force in your sign over the last 10 years. Reflect on who you were in 2012, who you are now, what has changed palpably, subtly, how's your relationship with your intuition, energy, spirituality changed over the last few years, or has things gotten kind of messy, for example, because Neptune dissolves the boundaries between this world and the next world. So again, stay grounded, Pisces. But that said, Saturn is now in your sign. This is our first week in to really start to take notes, to be aware, like, what is Saturn? You're listening for Saturn. How is Saturn showing up in your life? The sense that now the bar is set higher for you. I'm so sorry, Saturn sets the bar higher. Wants you to have to be methodical, precise, which is, you know, maybe not methodical and precise is what we think about with the energy of Pisces, but to get back to what is really important, to create new boundaries and structures in your life, to create this new season in your life, for example. But that said, Mars is wrapping up its time in what's called your fourth, which is the space of home and family. You know, Mars has been in that square to Neptune, and so maybe there's been some friction points with a family member or in your household, or maybe not physically in your house, but sort of these emotional points within yourself. So I did it. I got through everything, and there's even more to talk about next week. Like I said, we've got the start of the astrological year. We've got the Sun's arrival in Pisces. We've got Pluto in Aquarius. We've got Mars going into Cancer. I'm sure there's other things that I forgot. So do follow me online at empoweringastrology.com. I also have a newsletter. I put a newsletter out first thing every Monday. If you want that first look, you want to hear about whatever events or webinars that I'm doing. And yes, I am going to do a Pluto webinar. I feel like I'm squeezing this one in between Saturn and Pisces. And then we're going to start to have eclipses in a month. Yes, we are a month away from eclipse season. Jeez. But yeah, so we're going to have eclipses to talk about. So if you want to learn more about my Pluto in Aquarius webinar, go to my website, empoweringastrology.com. The link is in the show notes as well. It is a big shift. It really says that 2023 and 2024 are transition points personally, collectively. So there you go. I appreciate you all. Thank you for your time. I know, some familiar faces in the chat. You guys are my clients. I deeply appreciate that. And I guess, until next week, we're on the flip side. It's the start of the astrological year. Reflect a bit this weekend. And, as we're going into this new time, what do you want to create at the same time with all this Neptune energy? How are you getting some clues, some downloads about what maybe now needs to be created in your life? So there you go. Have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye.